Good morning, Impact family. I said good morning, Impact family. Here present and online as well. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another supernatural Sunday where Jesus is Lord. Come on, I said Jesus is Lord. Yes, amen. So glad to have you. So glad that you are back. Matter of fact, go ahead and just kind of fake high five somebody, you know, around you. Come on, you know, it's COVID-19, so you don't touch anybody, but just say, hey, look, you look good. Come on, at home too, you can do it. Now, if they came with you, you can touch them. That's okay. That's all permitted. Praise God. Hallelujah. So good to see you. Really looking forward to getting into, you know, what we have prepared for this Sunday. We started on last week, just this whole matter of love reigns. Love reigns over everything. Reigns over your life, reigns over my life. And I really want to encourage everyone that's listening. And that's everyone that's serving, whatever capacity you may be, you know, in, that you lean in. All right. As we talk about, you know, today, just how love reigns over our past. So many people get stuck in their present because of what has happened in their past. So many people's future is sabotaged, not because of anything bad that's happened then, but because of what happened back then. And we got to make sure that we learn how to embrace what Almighty God has done for us so that we can be free in this present and that we can enjoy the future that God has for us. I got news for you. Your best days are still ahead of you. Come on now. Say your best days, your glorious days, your most wonderful days, they are still ahead of you. Come on now, going from glory to greater glory in Almighty God. So, Father, we honor you now, and we open up our hearts. Father, I encourage everyone that is present and everyone that's online to lock in, Father. Help me to lock in as well, to pay attention, so that we all learn how to allow your love to reign supreme over every aspect of our lives. We give you praise and glory and honor for this. In Jesus' name. If you agree, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah indeed. Now, of course, on last week, you know, as I introduced us, we're just really looking at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and how that love has made all the difference, you know, in our lives. We committed once again, you know, last week just to live under the reign of Jesus' love so we might become, watch this, more and more like him every single day. But today I want to go ahead and shift, like I said, and really deal with how God's love reigns over our past. Remember this always, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we do not have to be controlled by our past mistakes, our miscues, even tragedies that have happened to us long ago or 5 minutes ago. You do not have to be defined by your past. Keep this in mind as well. Many people believe that their past is a hindrance to their present and their future. And a lot of times it is, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Someone say this with me. Say, you can turn it. All right, let's make it personal now. Say, I can turn it. Oh, absolutely you can. And that's what we want to lean into. So I'm going to give you 4 points today that I really want you to kind of, you know, get in, let it kind of marinate into your system, you know, let it begin to transform your mind and thinking. And so lock in on these. The first one is just simply this. Don't be a prisoner to your past. Do not be a prisoner to your past. I've been involved in prison ministry in some degree or another for, wow, you know, for 30, you know, years. And one of the tragedies that I have seen countless of times are individuals that have been incarcerated. Then they are released. But they are so foreign to the freedom that they are released into that they make a decision, consciously or unconsciously, that causes them to go back. And I can remember even talking to one individual who said, I just couldn't take it. I was more comfortable, watch this, I was more comfortable in bondage than having my freedom because of what kind of the whole institutionalization does to an individual if you don't watch it. That's being a prisoner to your past. I was talking to a particular person just the other day, and they were sharing their story with me, and just tremendous. And she was just telling me, she says, you know, I grew up, and looking at my mom and dad had an abusive relationship. Says, and so they were just always at it, always fighting, always screaming at each other, and they would get physical as well. So she says, as I got older, my understanding of love is it had to be confrontational. So every relationship that I went into, I looked for it to be that way, and if it wasn't, I would initiate it. The conflict, the abuse, and so forth, because that's how I understood love. Someone say, thank you, Jesus, for his grace, because then she came into relationship with Almighty God and understood, wait a minute, I don't have to be defined or imprisoned to my past. So a lot of times our past obviously is created, you know, for us by other people. You know, as children, of course, we didn't have a say-so. Some of us grew up in that era where it was because I told you so. Well, why? You know, here come a shoe flying across the, come on now, you couldn't do that. Huh? Now today, there's all kind of stuff that goes on. But some of y'all remember that particular era. Because I said so. That was the particular case. So because of our backgrounds, our experiences, and so forth, it has shaped us in certain ways. And if you don't watch it, some of the bondage that was constructed into our lives during that time, if you don't watch it, you're still wearing the prison, you know, kind of garments and the fence and the bondages today. Do not be a prisoner to your past. We cannot change our past. But watch this, we can ensure that our past does not control our present or sabotage our future. Dear God, your best days are right in front of you. And then for me too, probably with all of this, the greatest news is that of all the decisions that have caused, you know, such guilt and shame, all of that can be nullified by Jesus' love. Come on now. You probably got some, I know I got some decisions and choices that I was just like, oh my goodness, how did I do that? Anyone else willing to be honest? Yeah. Huh? Right up in here? Anyone online willing to be honest? I know I've made some decisions just like, oh my goodness. It's what I call bonehead decisions. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Bonehead decisions that create a sense of embarrassment, will create a sense of shame. And I need you to hear, God's heart for you and me, not only today, but all of your life is, come on, be free from that. Be free from that. That's your past. You can't change it. You can't control it. And listen to this. Sometimes the issue is our controlling nature. With all of your hustle, with all of your intellect, with all of your degrees, you're not going to change your past. It is what it is. Learn the lessons from it. But then also learn how to be free from it and be who God has called for you to be. You know, when we talk about things just kind of being completely shifted, I immediately begin to just think about Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, if you all are not familiar, his name was Saul first. And he was, you know, one of the religious leaders there, you know, in Israel. He is a Pharisee. And as he describes himself, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. So he's one of the leaders, you know, in that whole group, which were individuals who were very extreme, talking about keeping the law. You're talking about type A personalities. Oh, that's them right here. Praise God. They're going to make sure that you do exactly what you're supposed to do. And now Paul, and actually at this point he still Saul, he's in such a fervency to prove out, you know, his loyalty and, you know, so forth and his devotion to this way that he makes it a point now that he starts to persecute those who want to follow Christ. Persecute them. He's there bearing witness when Stephen is being murdered. He is taking individuals, you know, into custody. He is a part of people being killed that would follow Jesus Christ. That's how extreme it is with him. But then something happens. He has an encounter. I told you, everyone needs to have an encounter. Has an encounter with Almighty God. And watch this, it shifted everything. And then we see here in Acts chapter 9, verse 19, after this encounter takes place, it says, afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Because he hadn't eaten for a little while. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And then watch this. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues. Isn't that interesting? And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue. So he hadn't been to any Bible school or seminary or college or whatever the case may be. He just had an encounter. And from that encounter, he starts to proclaim the goodness of Almighty God. So don't you ever think that somehow, well, I don't know as much of the Bible as this person or that person, and I didn't go to school and so forth. But watch this. God has done some good things for you. And you can begin to share that immediately. Then it goes on to say further, saying he is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him, watch this, they were amazed, I guess so. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? They asked, and didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priest? That's why he was going to Damascus. He was going to arrest some individuals who were following Christ. So now all of a sudden he has a shift. He starts to preach now about the goodness of God. And everybody in the region is like, oh, I don't know. Now watch this. We can't look at them, you know, funny, because you probably would have been that way too. Come on, you know somebody that's been involved in killing, you know, people that, watch this. Let's bring it home. That's been killing people that go to Impact Church. And then all of a sudden they show up and say, hey, you know what, let me share with you the goodness of God. Come on now, somebody know MOD would be in full force, like, oh, we're about to take him down. Yeah. So everyone is leery. Everyone except God. God's like, that's my son. Oh, yeah, he had a past just like you and me. But God said, that don't matter. That doesn't matter. That's my son. He yields to me. He's open to me. Come on. I can work with him. Question, can God work with you? Others may view you today with who you were yesterday. But never do that to yourself. Yeah, I get it. Some people, for whatever the reason, they always want to relate to you today like who you were 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. They want to continue to relate. Well, I remember when. Okay, you can remember, but that's not me anymore. That's not me. And if you don't watch it, though, those kind of individuals, if you give it a whole lot of attention, it will bring you back to a place of putting yourself in prison to your past. Be free. Be free and get out and be exactly who God has called you to be. Say it with me. I'm free. Second point is this. Keep your eyes forward. Please, keep your eyes forward. It's a very dangerous thing to drive down the street always looking backwards. You're going to harm somebody. You're going to harm yourself. Any passengers that are with you are in trouble, and anyone that's on the road with you is in trouble. Keep your eyes forward. You know, over in Luke chapter 17, Jesus begins to explain to the disciples about his return, and he's encouraging them. And he begins to share with them things that they could look for that would point to his return. And then he shares with them how to respond as they are looking for his return. And he really encourages them to look forward with a sense of expectation. Watch this. Not backwards with regret. Never look backwards with regret. Listen, learn this lesson. I've been teaching this for years. Learn this lesson. I've been living this for years. Learn this lesson. Do not allow revelation and truth that you learn today and use that to judge your past. It will always make you miserable. There's no way around it. You'll get things today, and come on, many have been guilty of that. You've been sitting in a service and so forth, and it's just like, man, that's a good point. I wish I would have done different. Man, he talking about me. Come on, anybody ever had that experience before? Like, he talking about me. Matter of fact, I've had individuals, you know, get mad at me, be like, so you just going to talk about me and your mess. I was like, I'm not, I wasn't talking about, yeah, I know. I was like, I wasn't talking about you. Matter of fact, in some cases, some things would come to light and be like, you found out. Somebody told you about something. I was like, nobody told me about anything. And furthermore, this message was planned and already laid out before, you know, that ever even, you know, surfaced. That's always God's heart, because he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one who sees in advance and lays out the provision even before you get there. Keep your eyes forward. Do not look backwards in regret. Jesus, though, in getting this message across and trying to convey the seriousness and urgency of the matter of not looking backwards, he uses one of the most tragic events of imprisonment to the past we have in Scripture to admonish and to encourage them. This is probably, again, one of the most tragic events of looking back that we have in Scripture. So Jesus says this in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Three words in this verse. Remember Lot's wife. Come on. Say that verse out loud with me. That's verse 32 right there. 1, 2, 3. Remember Lot's wife. Come on. If you don't remember any other Bible verse today or the rest of this week, I want you to be thinking about Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Say it with me again. Remember Lot's wife. And then he goes on and says this in verse 33. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Here's just a little quick encouragement for you. Don't use Jesus to try to save yourself. I'll leave that there for a minute. You know, I like how the Message translation also says verse 33. It says, if you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms. Come on now. If you let that go, you can get life on God's terms. If you're going to try to control it, if you're going to try to make everything be, you know, fit your terms, it says that you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. It says, but if you can come to a place now where you can let that go, says you will get life on my terms. And let me tell you, I've had life on both sides. This is much sweeter. Huh? So much less stressful. Come on now. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, where that other life, you know, you lied so much you couldn't remember lies. You couldn't even tell lies from the truth anymore because he was just lying so much. Okay, all right, I'll leave that there. Genesis chapter 19, here's the story of what Jesus was talking about when he says, remember Lot's wife. God has come in now and getting ready to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities, you know, there because of just the extreme wickedness that is going on there. But consistent with God's nature, and the question was even posed to God, said, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God was like, absolutely not. So God, you know, allows for an opportunity to get those out who still had a heart for him. And it's only one family, just one out of two cities, one family. And it's Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. His two daughters are married. Now, I probably should. Okay, I will. Of course, pervasive in Sodom and Gomorrah at that time was a dominant activity of homosexuality. So when the men of the city understood that these angels who looked like men had come in to Lot's house, they were like, oh, we want to connect with them. They fine. They show up there, banging on Lot's door, wanting now him to release those men, you know, out to him. Lot wouldn't do it. Lot wouldn't do it, and then he makes an offer to him that, praise the Lord, I'm not even going to go there today. And now the angels are like, okay, God has sent us here to get you guys out of here because this is about to go down. And Lot, his wife, daughters, and everybody are hesitant. Now the daughters are married, but yet they are still described as virgins. You'll be able to put it together if you think about it long enough. Because when it's time to leave the city, their husbands don't leave. Their husbands had something else there that was more significant to them. Think about it for a while. It'll come to you. Look here again. We'll start at verse 15. It says, at dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Okay, because Lot, they're not taking this really, really seriously. They say, hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. Now, I don't know how much more you need. But they still don't leave. When Lot still hesitated, anyone else ever hesitated before? And getting some instruction from God, but you kind of hesitated. Lot is still hesitating, he and his family. So what happened? The angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city. They actually had to be physically removed. They're kind of just like, I don't know. That's so much attachment around here. It says, for the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Now, there's some other particular things that begin to transpire, you know, after that. But then all of a sudden we get down to verse 26 and then we see this. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him. And when she did, she turned into a pillar of salt. She dies on the spot. What's the cause of her death? She's a prisoner to her past. She can't keep her eyes forward. The only instruction they had, well, they actually had two. One, you know, get on out of here. It says, but as you're getting out too, don't look back. And listen, as God has been moving you forward, and I know sometimes it can seem a little uncomfortable, and I know sometimes we can be a little hesitating and so forth, but keep moving forward and don't look back. Because the only thing that looking back is going to do in this particular case is cause destruction. Keep your eyes forward at all times. Third point is this. Renovate your life. Come on now. You need to do a regular renovation. Think of it this way. On January 1st, you do a super cleaning of your house. Come on, anyone ever had one of them days where it's super cleaning? Where it's just like, we cleaning everything. Come on, you get the kids, the dog, the cat, we cleaning it all. And you're just cleaning and cleaning and so forth. When you're done, man, it's very rewarding. Everything just looks pristine. It's just like, wow, I didn't even know that could look that way again, you know, so forth. Everything just looks great. But then you don't clean anymore for the rest of the year. Now, how many of you know, by the end of the year, for sure, oh, it's going to be a mess in there. Oh, I'm telling you, that bathroom is going to be nasty. I said nasty. So we understand the concept that there are things like this. Watch this. Cleaning is really just almost a sense of renovation, a little mild sense of renovation. You need to do it regularly. So you need to intentionally be like, okay, I need to do, watch this, a spiritual renovation. I need to have some time, you know, where I allow, watch this, I allow God to work me over. Now, watch this. I've done some renovation before. One of, if not the best, one of the best days is really kind of that first day when you do like some real, you know, remodeling and renovation, because it's called the demo day, where you start busting up stuff, getting the old stuff out, watch this, so that you can put the new stuff in. You can't put the new things in if you don't get the old stuff out. I remember we redid our, you know, one of our bathrooms, and so I was in there, you know, busting up the old cabinets and so forth. I was having some fun. It was fun. I did a lot of it, you know, myself, and I had someone come in to install the cabinets. But the demo, I was like, I could tear stuff up myself. I don't need to pay you to tear it up. I'll tear it up. You know. So I'm tearing the stuff up, so forth. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Got that stuff out, you know, and then boom, bring in some new cabinets, countertop, all that particular stuff. You know, and now the bathroom begins to look different.
begins to look better. It's a renovation. It's a remodel. And listen, it's God's plan for your life and mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says it this way. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Identity check. Who belongs to Christ here? Let me just see. Come on, at home too. Wait, where are you? You belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Watch this. And that means you're new. That means you're new now. So let's establish that right here, right now. You are brand new. You are not who you were. Now somebody said, yeah, but some of the stuff I did was even when I was in Christ. Yeah, but see, that got washed away too. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is what? Come on now. The old life is gone. Come on, everyone do this. Kind of just wave like this. Just wave. Bye-bye. Come on. That old stuff is gone. It's gone. Oh, you used to be this. You used to be that. It says the operative word in there is used to. Used to. You're right. I used to. Oh, I used to. Oh, I used to be mad. I used to be ornery. I used to have a short temper. I used to, you know, whatever it is. You can fill in the blank with whatever. I used to drink a lot. I used to smoke a lot. I used to whatever. Used to. Now, somebody already, see, I picked it up. Somebody is like, yeah, but what if you still do? Yeah, but watch this. There's grace for that, too. His grace is sufficient. The old is gone, and a new life has begun. Come on now. We're over into a brand new life right now. Absolutely love it. You know, some of the little, you know, TV shows you kind of watch, you know, the Fixer Upper. You know, so forth, just doing, you know, house renovations, you know, flip this house, you know, that's been around, I guess, for years. I don't even know if it's still on, you know, but there's other shows that follows the same model, that buying houses, go in, demo it, renovate it, sell it, make a profit. I mean, just being able now to kind of go into some of those houses that look bad, but watch this, to have a vision of greatness. You go into it and it's like, now that looks bad. My goodness, them countertops are from 1950. I mean, it's just like, oh, Lord, things can look bad, but you got to learn how to look past that with a sense of vision. And that's how God presented, you know, his approach to you and I. That God wasn't looking at, you know, what happened in your past. God wasn't looking at your old countertops. God wasn't fixated on the floors, you know, and God wasn't fixated on that disco ball that was still hanging in the room. Come on now, God wasn't fixated on that 6 foot carpet that you had. Didn't y'all go back that far where you remember that carpet you had to rake? Okay, I guess I didn't told my age there, but I remember distinctly. I had a cousin. I would go over to her house, and this carpet was so long that she actually had a rake for it. Be like, okay, you see, this is how you do this. I was like, oh my goodness, no. See, you got to renovate stuff like that. You got to get old stuff out so that you can get the new in. I tell you, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. When God comes into our lives, he does not simply overlook our past indiscretions or even our present day issues, for that matter, and dysfunctions. But instead, he forgives them and then he removes them so that they do not have power over us anymore. Come on now. He removes that so it doesn't have power over us anymore. Now, when I say remove, that doesn't mean you forget. And when I say remove, that doesn't mean you're not tempted to still do it again. But the power of it now has been broken by the love of Almighty God. So learn how to lean into that love, tapping into his grace, and it will be sufficient to push you through the temptation. That's a good teaching right there. Yeah, praise God. Amen. So keep this in mind. In Psalm 103, verse 11, says this: "For this unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth." Now that's you and I, all who are in Christ. Yeah, we are the ones that fear him. It says he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Come on, say it with me. It's gone. Tell that person next to you, say, yours gone too. Yeah, for sure. It's gone. So our past, watch this, does not have control over our present or our future. In verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he keeps going on. Now remember, old things are gone. You know, the new life has begun. And then watch this. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. You recognize that? And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come on, come back to God. Come on, come back to God. You know, I like one translation says this way, become friends with God. He's already a friend of you. Oh, come on, become a friend of God. God said, I already chose to be your friend. So now will you choose to be mine? Come on back. That's the message that we actually bring to those who do not know and recognize God's amazing love for our life. But here's the point I want to make sure I focus in on just for a quick second. In verse 18 where it says, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. All of this is God's gracious gift, you know, for us. It's all, listen, it's all from him. So this means that getting past our past is not something we can do on our own. Again, don't use Jesus to try to save yourself. He already did it. So embrace the new. Embrace, watch this, the gift. Now, if we can be, you know, candid, I'm going to kind of jump ahead here. This seems really too good to be true. And as a result of it, for many individuals, it's not trustworthy. Because like, yeah, that's just too simplistic. It's kind of, you know, the thinking that's there. So you can't really trust that because it's just not that simple. There was this company, cake mix company, a couple of years ago, I think it was now. They developed a line of cake mix where the only thing you needed to do was add water. Just add some water to it. Add some water, got your batter, you're good to go. They just knew this thing is going to boom. I was like, ooh, we about to get some market share like never before. They were strongly encouraged until the thing hit the market and their sales was horrible. It was horrible. And they're just scratching their head like, what is wrong? How is it that people are really not going for this? And what they discovered is that it was so simple that people didn't trust it. So then they did something. They took the same thing that they had, and then they kind of just, you know, reconfigured it a little bit to say, add one egg, you know, for X amount. And sales, boom, shot up. Because people thought it was just too simple. So I can't trust it. And unfortunately, many times individuals get stuck with Christ because, like, it just seems too simple. I don't know if I can trust it. Come on, this is the gift. This is a gift, but you just have to embrace it. Don't try to process it, you know, over and 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 over again intellectually. Just learn how to embrace it. Just learn how to receive it. The last point is this. Let me share with you. And that is, learn how to celebrate your divine exchange. Learn how to celebrate your divine exchange. Now, let me see here. I'm going to use my man Jeremy. Jeremy, come on up, man. Let me see you for a second. Now, this is a good man here. This is a good man. This is a good man. Matter of fact, this is a good place to put your hands together right here. Come on now. We've got a good man coming to the stage. My man Jeremy. Now, we need to learn how to celebrate the divine exchange that we have. Now, Jeremy, I'm going to help him out on this. I'm going to make it real simple. Now, here, I got $1 bill. I thought, he took that fast, didn't I? I couldn't even get my illustration going. So now, we're talking about a divine exchange. Now, he has a dollar. Now, he gives me that dollar. And in exchange, I give him 25 cents. God bless you. Is that worth celebrating? Now, you kind of lost a bit. You kind of lost a bit, for sure. Matter of fact, let me do this, though. Aiden, come on up. Come on up here. Come on up. Quick. Now, here's a case where he has a dollar bill. And he decides, okay, he's going to give me, look, he's putting it in his pocket too. Man, folks are quick with the money around here. But now he decides he's going to give his dad the dollars. My son, come on, man. Come on, come on. But in exchange now, he gets a 20. That went to his pocket real fast. I don't know if y'all saw that. How many of you know that's an exchange worth celebrating? Come on now, you gave me a dollar, but, you know, I got 20 back. You gave me a dollar, I got 50 back. Come on, you gave me a dollar, I got 100 back. I'm telling you, everybody on Wall Street would love this. Everybody. That's an exchange worth celebrating, but I submit unto you, the exchange God has made with us is far more valuable than just simply a dollar to $20. If we had to put a monetary figure on it, we couldn't. It's like us bringing a dollar and watch this and all the U.S. debt being paid for 20 times over. That's trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. That's the kind of exchange that we got. So always make it a point to celebrate it, praise God. Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure I put that with it. Thank you. I'll take the quarterback, though. Yeah, all right. Thank you, gentlemen. Come on, put your hands together for them. Uh-huh. We're good to go. Yes, yes, yes. That's the exchange we have. Here's how God says it right here in verse 21, the last verse of this chapter. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Come on now. There was an exchange that's made here. Jesus says, you know what, all right, I did it. I fulfilled the law. I did this thing blameless. Nobody else could do it because no one else, quite frankly, had my blood type. He says, but I did it. And now I earned something. I had to pay for it. That's what his death, burial, and resurrection was about. I paid for it. But now when you come to me, I'm going to give you for free what I paid for. This is the overwhelming good news. And a lot of times it seems so simple that people get stuck. He says, I'm giving you for free. What am I giving you for free? I'm giving you a righteousness with God. You are right with God. Listen, I got news for you. In your best day, in your best effort, in all of your Bible verses and all your Bible memorization, you can never be right with God. But because of Jesus, come on, in Christ. You see this phrase, in Christ, 216 times in the New Testament, in Paul's letters in particular. 216 times where he's just saying, look, in Christ. This was an identification phrase, in Christ. This was a phrase, watch this, of God's approval. When you're in Christ, you're approved. You're approved. There's a stamp on your life. You're approved. Righteous with God. Come on, say it with me. I am righteous with God. Yeah, I'm right with God. So watch this. So don't ever think then that God is mad at you. Don't ever think that. Yeah, but what if I do this, that, and the other? He's still not mad. Well, what if I slip up and do this? He's still not mad. Why? Because of this exchange that is taking place. Learn how to celebrate that exchange. And when we do so, oh, we will find a freedom from our past. Come on, would you lift up your hands with me, please? Come on, at home as well. Father, I just declare a fresh anointing and oil upon every family that's represented here and that is watching. May they be free from the burdens and the guilt and the shame that tries to come from their past. Father, may they celebrate immensely the divine exchange that you have made, your righteousness for our sin. So we surrender all unto you, sir, just to embrace it. Help us to live, Father, with a conscience that's not looking backward, but that we keep our eyes going forward. So we love you, sir, and we embrace the new life that has already begun in us. In Jesus' name, if you agree with you, shout hallelujah. 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 Indeed, glory to God forever. Now do this with me. Every head bowed just for a moment. Every eye closed in prayer. Maybe you're with us today, present or online, and you can't say honestly, sincerely, that you are in Christ. Now, that doesn't make you a bad person. I'm sure you're a wonderful person. Absolutely sure of it. But listen, until we are in Christ, simply making a decision for him, we don't get in on the divine exchange. Why would you not want the $100 for the $1? Why would you not want this immense gift for just, you know, just a little small thing that you have to bring, and that's just your surrender? Why would you not want that? I know you do, because it's a great return. It's a great reward. So if that's you, you've never then made this decision to come into relationship with God, not religion, but relationship with God, by surrendering to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Here in the auditorium, there, you know, online, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Go ahead and get on in on this divine exchange today. So our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. If that invitation speaks to your heart, and even at home, I want to ask that you do this. Let me know that I'm praying for you by just lifting up one hand under heaven. Right there we are. And I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be glad to pray with you. Praise God. Yeah, lift it up high right there at home. Yeah. Yeah, you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. See, God recognizes you. God sees you. This is the most significant day in your life. I applaud you. So this is what I want to do. I want to lead you in a prayer. Say this out loud with me and say it real strong. And I'm going to ask everyone that's present to say it as well. Come on, lift up two hands under heaven because we're under arrest. Say this out loud. Say, dear Father God, thank you so much for your love, for what you've given for me. Thank you for the exchange. Jesus' righteousness for my sin. Jesus, I am grateful that you've lived for me, that you've died for me, and that you rose for me. I embrace you now as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, as my king, as my everything. I surrender all to you. Amen. Come on, somebody just give God thanks right there. Let's just worship and honor him. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name, Father. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Yes, you are good. You are good. You are good. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time out of the sincerity of your heart, here's what I want to ask that you do. Number one, let us know, you know, just by typing right into the chat that you may be watching from, you know, the word decided. We'll send you a link to a booklet called Fresh Start. If you're here present and you'd like one of those booklets as well, there's a 7-day devotional. You can get one free as you're just walking out. Just ask any of our leaders as you're exiting. They'll be glad to give you one. Take some time to utilize that on today. You can also text the word decided to the number that you'll see there in the chat too. It's 954-280-2076. Be sure to let us know. We just want to be praying for you. We want to rejoice with you. I also want to encourage you for next steps. Next steps is this. There's two of them that I really want to encourage for. Number one is our growth track. Our growth track is our 4 steps that really kind of share with the heart, vision, and the mission of Impact Church and just really growing in your leadership and who God's called you to be. We do it every Sunday, first, second, third, and fourth Sunday at noon. And so you can register for that as well. Just register. Text the word GROW to the number again, 954-280-2076. They'll send you the link for the Zoom. It lasts about 30 minutes. It's at 12 o'clock today, so get in on that. If you missed this one, you can always get in on the one on next Sunday as well. The second, you know, next step that I really want to encourage of you is water baptism. The identifying mark of being, you know, with Almighty God is what we see throughout scripture is this whole symbolism of water baptism. Just like Jesus died and went into the grave and resurrected, you know, brand new, so have I. That's what's taking place with water baptism. So if you've never been water baptized before, listen closely to this, since you believed, I would really strongly encourage you to join us, you know, in on that as well. I believe there's a number that you can text as well for that, where you can register for that. You know, we're going to be doing so here soon, coming up in the next, you know, few weeks. So if you would like to get on the list, you can do so. If you are present as well, you can always talk with Minister Owusu. He'll take care of you and get everything, you know, down for you as well. But water baptism is significant to God. It's a time for us to just to be able to rejoice and celebrate you, praise God. But like I said, since you believe, I've been water baptized in my life twice. I was baptized when I was 12 years old, and can we just be candid? I had absolutely no clue about what was going on. I was doing it just for the fire insurance. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I understood this at 12 years old. It was just like, you know, if you don't, you know, accept Jesus, you know, you die and go to hell. I was like, they burning in hell? I was like, okay, well, I'm good. Come put me in the water. I'm good for that. I don't need to burn. There was no relationship. A lot of religious activity. But then years later in my life, now I get born again. I have an encounter with God. So then when I'm 24 years old, I get water baptized again. Because now I believed and now I understood what it was all about. So definitely want to encourage you, if you've never done that, since you believe, be sure to register for it. Father, we declare now your blessing and anointing to rest mightily upon every family again that's represented here today. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for breaking us free from our past and allowing your love to reign. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a supernatural week.